Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by AOL Music and Spinner.com, where you can get free MP3s, exclusive interviews, and more. Video bandwidth for TWiT is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 252, recorded June 13th, 2010. The Legend of Vuvuzela. This Week in Tech is brought to you by the new Carbonite Pro. It's simple, secure, and affordable online backup for your small business. For a free trial and to learn more, visit CarbonitePro.com. And by Audible.com. To download two free audiobooks of your choice, go to audible.com/twit2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter at audible_com. And by squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account, go to squarespace.com/twit. It's time for TWiT, This Week in Tech, the show that covers the latest tech news. Joining us in studio right now from NSFW, Scam School, and BB Live. You still do Brian Brushwood Live?
We do BB Live show from time to time. It's very intermittent. Whenever I've got something that's not really a proper show, just want to connect with the audience, I'll hop on BBLiveShow.com.
And the only TWiT commentator who both breathes fire and sleeps on nails, Mr. Brian Brushwood from Schwood.com.
You had to say both those because I got you eating fire the very first time I came.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
The video's out there on YouTube.
And ladies and gentlemen, he's back after a complete travesty last week, which John did not participate in. He has accepted my pleading and begging. He's coming back. John C. Dvorak from Channel Dvorak. What did you say that was a terrible show last week? Did you say
I was kidding.
I was just kidding.
Today's opposite day.
This is a joke. Hey, John.
I kid.
How you doing? I haven't seen you in ages.
Well, here I is.
Not for lack
I was going to come up today, but I felt it was going to be boiling up there.
It is. It's 90-something, 93, something like that.
I was shocked because I guess I was driving through the fog at first. It was a beautiful 73 degrees, and then 20 miles later, it was 93 or something.
You hit the marine layer.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got the marine layer here. It's only at 70-something, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. You should come up. Don't you like warm weather?
No, I do. In fact, I like it. But when it's 100 degrees, it seems to be a bit much.
Yeah. We had a premature early heat wave here. So, We have a lot of tech news to talk about, and we will certainly get to that in a few hours.
First, vuvuzelas.
First,
and go.
First, the vuvuzela. We can't do this show without
this that. Is our tribute to the World Cup right here.
Have you guys been watching the World Cup? Did you watch any of the games?
I only watched the U.S. versus England, and that was really neat because all of the internet took a break to pretend to care about soccer. It was adorable.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Gee, spending all that time watching that fantastic game 1-1. I couldn't bear the excitement.
This is really the problem soccer has in the U.S. Is it just it's incomprehensible to Americans?
It's dull.
Although with youth soccer, I would think that Americans at least know the rules now, but it's still dull. It is no less dull. Why is it that the world finds soccer so exciting?
I used to think the exact same thing with hockey, because hockey also has low-scoring games, until I went and saw
exciting.
Yeah, a hockey game live, and I was like, well,
is astonishing.
Yeah.
Maybe we just should see more live soccer. I think the problem is the field is massive, so everything's spread out.
Yeah.
I've seen live soccer. I saw when the Olympics were in L.A., I saw the live soccer game. I've seen the live soccer game in the big stadium in Rio de Janeiro, 350,000 capacity.
Any vuvuzelas?
Wow.
It's a...
big stadium.
The only thing interesting about Brazilian soccer in Brazil is that the game is kind of interesting about the last 5 minutes when they actually start to play.
Right. And you don't see this so much, at least I haven't seen it so much in the World Cup. I like the faking, where the guy just touches you and he goes, and he falls on the ground and rides.
Flopping,
where they're trying to draw a red card on them or something.
Yeah, but I guess in the World Cup you don't really do that. It's kind of not
bad. I would imagine if you're ever going to pull
British
it out,
do it. That's
for the World Cup.
That's what the British are known for.
They're famous for the flopping.
It's their acting. Yeah. It's the Shakespearean instinct deep inside them.
Alas, poor Yorick.
So the thing that, though, that stands out for Americans, and I guess it's controversial, is this buzzing that you hear the entire time.
Oh, it just, it's like I want to start confessing state secrets. I'm so unable to handle this nonstop.
It's called, they say, a vuvuzela.
Sometimes, why is it called that?
I know. It's a...
It's also called, what's the other name of it?
Lepitada.
Yeah. It either sounds like a body part or a disease. Your pick.
Vuvuzela does sound like a little bit like
a body part.
A lady's parts.
Yes.
Hi. Your vuvuzela is hanging out. It just sounds that way. I don't know. Maybe it's me.
It is.
And lepitada sounds like a condition that you might get if you take something and you get the lepitada. May cause.
Hey, I had some wild days of my youth. Now I got a little bit of the lepitada.
Sausage right? fingers or lepitada.
So to make a segue.
That's the sound. That's single, the sound of.
Yeah, I think that's a ship out here.
That's one vuvuzela. Now, there is, the good news is for you folks who have an iPhone, there is a vuvuzela, many actually, vuvuzela iPhone
Was
apps.
There really a number of them?
There were more than one. And this is virtual vuvuzela. There is a free version. I got the pro version.
You got the pro version.
I don't know.
Because you don't mess around when it comes to your vuvuzela,
with the pro
sir.
Version, you could pick your country. So I'm going to pick Cameroon because I've always been a fan of Cameroon. And then when you play the vuvuzela, see the horn has the Cameroon colors.
See, you would think they would have, like, different tones for different countries.
No, no.
This is bogus. This,
you know what this is?
Thing
this
is totally like a, bogus.
What do you mean, bogus?
What do? They get the Cameroonians to show up in some stadium and then record? This is nonsense.
No, it's not Cameroonian vuvuzela. I think it's just the same vuvuzela. They just have the national flag.
By the way, for anyone still listening to broadcast, you've passed the test. Now you get tech news.
All right, and here it is, ladies and gentlemen, the tech news. So Steve Jobs takes the stage on Monday, which now I don't know why, but for some reason seems forever ago.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Does it seem like it was this week that they announced the new iPhone?
I think part of it, you could blame Tom Merritt because it was as though, because I tuned in, that's where I got the coverage, was live here.
We covered it live here, yep.
Right, and it's like I really felt like I was there, and I guess it was only one day after last Sunday, but you've had a while for it to kind of process and sink in. You don't seem that jazzed about the iPhone 4.
Not really.
You're just completely bought into the Nexus 1, right?
No, you know, well, I have to say I'll probably get an iPhone 4. I don't know if I'll choose it, but the Nexus 1 has started to become a little unresponsive to my fingering, and that worries me a little bit. I think it's vuvuzelas on the blade.
I made the prediction on Sunday night that whatever it is you were hoping for on the iPhone 4, expect just a little bit less. And during the announcement, all my friends were sending me tweets. They were razzing me like, what else do you want, lasers?
What are you saying?
But it's like...
everything you want and less.
And like, yeah, that's what I expected. And I'd like to think that I nailed this one because it did have everything that we expected from the Gawker, you know, preview.
Well, we kind of knew because, yeah, they
right.
had the hardware.
But I was genuinely surprised that there wasn't a 64 gigabyte option available because at 32 gigabytes, I'm always running out of room on my current phone. And I don't know that I want to spend $300 just to continue to have that problem. I'd love to make that go away.
In fact, you can almost say that the story of the iPhone is what it didn't have. You're absolutely right.
Well, and that's, you know, of course, that's, you know, that's always the easy way to go with any of the
All right,
the
well, let's talk about what it did have. All it right. has a new screen. They call it the Retina display, although the folks from the head of science at DisplayMate and others, physicists, have pointed out that, in fact, it is not a retinal display.
I think that depends also on how far apart, how far from your eyes you're holding it.
Well,
and
no,
how
precisely.
Good your vision is.
Precisely. So, Raymond Sonera. So, here's the claim. Apple's claim
Wait. Can you explain what a retinal display is supposed to be and why this isn't one?
Apple's claim is that the resolution, the dots per inch or pixels per inch of the new iPhone, which is admittedly very high, 326 pixels per inch, is so high that it's, quote, higher resolution than the human eye
is able to perceive.
So, well, yeah. If it's higher resolution than the eye can see, then you wouldn't see dots.
Now, I am posting a link in the chat room for anybody in the chat room that is a very good photo that Robert Scoble took of a unit in his hand that really does show how good
the display
is. It's
amazing looking.
It is very, very good.
It looks like paper. It looks like you're, you know, holding. However, Raymond Sonera, who is a display mate, and these guys have done this for years. You know him, John. They really are the kind of the kings of display technology. He's a president. He says, and by the way, he's also a PhD in physics. He says that the truth is, and of course, just as you say, Brian, it's how far you are away. The angular measurement of the retina is 6 arc minutes per pixel. See, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
So if you wanted to hold an iPhone 4G 20 inches away, it would have to have 716 pixels per inch. In other words, that the 326 pixels per inch is only good if you've got it at arm's length. It's
right.
Not. It
or
really
if you have
isn't.
Less than 20/20 vision.
Well, I yeah.
If you have less than perfect 20/20 vision,
say,
or 20/10
as you
vision.
Say, the people who've seen it, see, I haven't seen it, but the people who've seen it say it's very crisp, very clear. My concern is it just means that type can be smaller. I mean, look how small the type is in Robert's
yeah,
picture.
Yeah, that's a good point, Leo.
So, I mean, who,
it's annoying some of these type. The 2-point, 3-point font. Right.
I guess I could zoom in and then it'd be more legible, but I'm not.
Now, this is also, from where I'm sitting, I experienced both this launch and the iPad launch remotely, watching the way other
right.
people reacted to it. And this is very, very similar to it in many regards. One, with the iPad, everyone who was there and touched it
loved it.
Everyone who wasn't there didn't understand it. And it looks like this is very much the same. Everybody who has seen the display in person says, look, Apple's prone to exaggerate on a lot of things. They're not doing that. On the
well,
screen.
That's why I'm reserving judgment because right. I think you know, and we'll see it all soon. In 2 weeks, we're going to see it. The 25th.
But can I also say that the mere fact that we're even having this conversation is evidence to me that Steve Jobs is the P.T. Barnum of our generation.
Oh, yeah.
The mere fact that he's able
Brilliant.
To frame it in this over the top language,
right.
which is like I would love. Like, how different is this display from what you got on the Evo? Is it significantly
better? It's much higher resolution.
Oh, it is much higher.
Much higher resolution. So, you know, look, this is laser printer resolution. That's
wow.
That's pretty good. I mean, you know, that's you're looking at, you know, the quality of a piece of paper.
I don't see it.
On a laser printer. I can't see these dots, and this is 300 dots per inch. So
right.
I can look, we'll have to see it.
Okay, so the display.
It has that. It has another thing that I think is completely stupid, which is FaceTime. And again, P.T. Barnum Jobs, or P.T. Jobs as we call him.
PTJ for
sure. Doesn't that sound like HR Puff and stuff? It sounds like a cartoon. PT Jobs and stuff. Anyway, he acted as if Skype never existed. Like,
yeah.
You've never seen a video phone call.
This is that moment that I said, whatever you're hoping for, expect less. I was absolutely hoping that it would be Skype out of the box, that my family could be on the home computer.
You have to be on Wi-Fi.
You have to be on Wi-Fi. But having said that, this is the feature that I have looked for in every single release since the very first iPhone. Absolutely, 100%.
Really?
And, it's like I've got a 6-year-old and a 2-year-old at home. This is, and the only part that, you know, and of course the ads show this touching moment of baby taking first steps and the deaf couple talking through sign language and all these things. But the one part that had me screaming was it shows the guy in a hotel, say, looking at his kids, and I'm like, lies! No hotel has Wi-Fi that good.
Right.
All hotels have terrible,
it's gonna
terrible
Wi-Fi. It's going to be much more like the actual demo on the stage
oh
Steve
God.
Jobs did with
oh,
the
which,
frozen
video. Oh, which we
video.
Didn't even get to that part yet.
Yeah.
How about the meltdown?
Yeah, he was not too happy.
You know, I found a Page Six item in the San Francisco Weekly afterward. 3 hobos were killed randomly shortly after.
Someone must die.
The keynote.
Someone must die. So apparently... nobody at Apple figured out that all the journalists present would be using their own Wi-Fi access points, a.k.a. a MiFi. And it wasn't the lack of bandwidth. It was the number of access points.
It was the interference.
Yeah.
It was just you couldn't get a clear signal from one side
You'd
to the other.
You'd have thought they would have learned a little bit because Google had a similar problem with Bluetooth when they were trying to do their Google TV demo. You would have thought that somebody at Apple would say, gee, I wonder, you think would, should we be worried about this Wi-Fi working?
Well, and it's tough because how do you simulate that kind of thing? How do you don't know until you get there. It's like in order to see what kind of interference you'd have, you have to have already. It's I guess they could have maybe tested during the iPad launch since that was clearly exactly the same scenario as they dealt with in this one.
Now, here's an interesting supposition. This comes from Ars Technica, their infinite loop column. They're so brilliant. They say that the WWDC keynote Wi-Fi woes may have been due to iPhone 4 drivers.
Really?
Jobs said from the stage, and an Apple engineer later confirmed with InfoWorld that over 500 Wi-Fi networks were in the room. And, of course, no journalist, especially those live blogging, was going to turn off his Wi-Fi. I'm sorry. There's just no way that was going to happen. But
yeah.
there is 5,000 people and 500 networks... However, after examining the video from the event, says Ars, and discussing it with two veteran Wi-Fi gurus, it seems almost certain that the MiFi was only a part of the problem, a flaw in the pre-release iOS was clearly another element. Apple's public relations concern confirmed receipt of a request for comment, but none was forthcoming. So this is great. Infinite Loop, Glenn Fleischman, takes a look at the video in slow motion. This is worthy of the Zapruder film.
The hopes dashing on Steve Jobs' face.
Here's the replay in slow motion. 06 seconds in, the iPhone 3GS has mostly loaded the New York Times, but the iPhone 4 displays just a title bar. Whoops. That's not really a good demo. A Wi-Fi icon in the iPhone 4's status bar is visible at the top. Yes, you can see that. 17 seconds in, Jobs brings the backup set of devices, and the backup iPhone is on 3G. You can see the 3G indicator clearly. The iPhone 4 can't acquire a 3G connection. The audience laughs. A wag suggests Jobs try Verizon.
Yeah. That was the moment.
That was the moment.
That was
47 seconds in. I'm inspired because Jim Cutler, our voiceover guy, is in the studio. And I think I'm turning into him. 47 seconds in, the demo screen fades subtly back to the original pair of devices in which the Wi-Fi icon is shown on iPhone 4. But it's still has not retrieved the page.
Before the episode's over, I want Jim to give a dramatic reading of something.
Jim Anything. Is great. I will get him a phone book.
You know, I have to say, are people that bored?
Apparently.
So here's the thing about FaceTime. FaceTime, yes, it's gimmicky and it sounds over the top. And, you know, you use that rhetoric that's going to change the way you communicate and everything. But this is what we've all wanted since you know, the Dick Tracy wristwatch. You know, this ability to get face-to-face communication with other people. And, yes, it's very, very handicapped right now. And I'm super annoyed by it. I hate that it's Wi-Fi to Wi-Fi because if I'm
well,
in
it's
a
useless.
Place.
I'm sorry. That's useless.
Yes. I agree.
Because if I have Wi-Fi, I'm going to use Skype. Sorry.
Right. By the way, and let me put this out to the universe, because someone out there can make a mint. Every time I go into a new hotel, the very first page I load is speedtest.net.
Really?
And it occurs to me that all I would
You
need,
have a lot of data, because you stay in a lot of hotels.
Oh my gosh, you're not kidding.
You know
well, there's got to be other people like me. But imagine if they added a feature that you clicked one button, and it did geolocation, and it knew which hotel you were at, and it had an aggregation of all the hotels true bandwidth throughput, not whatever they're advertising. First of all, every time you call a hotel in advance, you say, do you have high-speed internet? They say yes. You're like, well, how
you
fast is it?
You need to create a website.
Like, it's wireless.
Brian, you need to create a website where
yeah,
travelers
actually,
can put this.
I'll join you on this one, Brian. You know, the thing is you not only need a website for that, but you need a website that discusses what people charge in various hotels. We need a generalized database that shows all the hotels in the country, what they charge, and if you have bad rooms, it should be reported.
And
you know, some rooms you just can't get a good connection.
I'll go so far as to say I would pay a subscription fee to be part of a secret club of people who reported who consistently had good bandwidth.
Well, they
do that.
SeatFinder does it for airline seats. I can imagine that somebody would do this Wi-Fi.
Well, please get on it because I'm ready to make that happen right away.
I play the Vuvuzela in your honor, my
but
friend.
Thank you. That the other thing that that is promising about FaceTime is the fact that they said it would be an open API. Is that right? Which means all kinds of software can there
so
can be.
They showed the stack of software. It's H.264. It's not a standard like H.323 that is a standard for video conferencing. It's at H.264, but it does support somebody who was in our chat room who knew what all of this was about, the VoIP expert, said it does, in fact, support all of those stacks of software. And Skype has said, yes, we'd like to support it. It's unknown how much Apple's revealed about how it works.
So. Well, and that's so typical for these keynotes, where it's like, you want it, and it's coming, just like tethering last year from AT&T, which brings up the other big bummer of this week. I guess it happened before the actual announcement.
No Verizon.
But no Verizon.
I predicted last week on this very show, I theorized that because of the AT&T change in its pricing, the bandwidth tiering, because AT&T doubled its early termination fee, I thought, and all of this activated June 7th, I thought for sure that means AT&T is kind of beginning to wrap up its exclusivity, and Verizon or somebody's going to come in. In fact, Joshua Tobolsky from Engadget was on the show last week, said that why stop there? Why not make it on every carrier? But no.
How about this for an idea as a thought? I think you mentioned on one of the shows that the Apple's got the 27th booked at some place or other.
Supposedly at Moscone.
But the 24th is when the phone comes out, right?
Right.
So how about this for as part of a deal that Apple did with AT&T and Verizon?
You get 3 days?
They bring the phone out. They say nothing. They bring the phone out. Everybody gets in line again, and they go wrap around the block to grab this phone as soon as it comes out. 3 days later, they make the Verizon announcement.
This is some no-agenda talk right here.
I like it.
I'm some heavy-duty conspiracy
basically, it just
theory.
Shows that we still,
makes sense to
we
me.
Still have not given up. The notion that AT&T is the one and only place you can get an iPhone is just not going to go.
One of the things that really disappointed me was AT&T announced they were doing away with the unlimited use. And they said that you could be grandfathered in. I suppose it's still...
If you bought by June 7th. You had to buy by June 7th.
Right. But I wonder if there's any way, like I'm somebody, I have the unlimited plan right now, of course. But when I go to buy the iPhone 4, I'm almost certain that they say, well, if you want the subsidized price, you need to pick a new plan.
Yeah.
And so
they
so,
will.
Yeah.
That's the quote generous deal that AT&T is offering. That if you're due for an update, which happens after 1 year apparently, if you're due for an update on AT&T anytime in 2010, you can get it for the update price.
Yeah. Well, I tell you,
but it extends your contract for another.
Yeah. There's
2 years.
A big gap because I bought it the day it came out, and my wife bought hers like 3 weeks later. She's not eligible until February 2011.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's like, but then again, I mean, I've been with AT&T for 11 years now. So it's, you know, I don't know if I qualified for some other thing on the inside.
Well, that explains your hair.
Every week I look at my hair.
So why? John, you must know. You must at least have a theory. Why? Clearly it's not in Apple's best interest to stay at AT&T at this point. Why are they still exclusive to AT&T?
Well, it's obvious that there is a good under-the-table deal for Apple. They're making tons of money on a kickback or something. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
At this point, it must be 100% of every penny AT&T makes is going to Apple. I mean, everybody hates AT&T. Apple, if they sold, they could double the sales by going to Verizon.
A cool thing to do. When their stock starts to fail, maybe they'll do it then.
Let me say two things.
Pushing the 27th thing.
You think that maybe that's...
Yeah. AT&T, first of all, it is a little bit skewed because genuinely the service is terrible in San Francisco. And for the life of me, I don't know why AT&T just doesn't throw a few, $100,000 at the problem to make a dent on it.
Because of rights of way. It's very... Especially in a town like San Francisco.
Right. Well, I tell you, like, I stay down by the airport, and no lie, I get, like, 1.3 megabits down. The service is very
good.
Last
week, PC Magazine published a study in which they said AT&T had the fastest network... Almost everywhere except for the Pacific Northeast.
And that's the
problem,
right?
Where, believe it or not, who would you guess, Tim, Jim, is the best? Because Jim Cutler and Don live in the Pacific Northeast.
Probably one of the minor ones.
It's T-Mobile. Who would have thought? I would have thought Verizon, because that used to be 9X. Jim says T-Mobile may be getting it next, and that's exactly right. Steve Wu. Shaw Wu. An analyst with Kaufman Brothers is saying... The iPhone could come to T-Mobile as early as this fall. He says the iPhone will be available on multiple carriers in the U.S. by next year. And the first carrier to get the iPhone after AT&T exclusivity ends is likely to be T-Mobile, which is not going to make anybody happy.
Well, remember also that whatever network, any other network, whether it's Verizon, whether it's anyone, if they had the iPhone exclusivity, they couldn't handle it. There's so many iPhone
Well, that's
users.
Why you put it on every freaking network.
Right, exactly. But that's just it. If you spread it around, maybe you'd be all right. But two things disappointed me about the change about the AT&T unlimited plan. The first was the reaction everyone had where they checked their data usage and said, oh, well, I didn't cross 2 gigabytes, so I'm sure it's fine. And it's like, that's right now thinking. And now you have this product that's going to shoot high-definition video.
Right.
You're going to deal with much larger files. You're going to have a lot more opportunity with all different programs. 2 gigabytes is not going to be a lot in another year.
I'm going to tell you in a second why you're absolutely right. But before we do that...
Life is so easy in a square space.
You going to play the vuvuzela?
I'm going to play the vuvuzela. Actually, I want to talk about Squarespace.com. Squarespace, of course, is that great place for you to make a great website. If you go to squarespace.com/twit right now, you can set up your Squarespace site for free for 2 weeks. You don't even need a credit card. Just go to squarespace.com/twit. Now, why would you do that? It's the secret behind exceptional websites. Hosting, yes, starting at $8 a month, but it also includes... the incredible Squarespace software that makes it so easy to design a unique and beautiful site and gives you features like built-in social integration with Facebook, Twitter, Quick, Pandora, all of them. Flickr. You've got the great iPhone app, which is simply the best blogging app out there. You can import and export your blog from movable type, WordPress, TypePad, or Blogger. Incredible stats, photo galleries, intuitive editing, and very, very elegant customization. You don't even need to know CSS. Of course, if you know CSS, there's the sky's the limit. You can put any arbitrary CSS or JavaScript in there. But even if you don't, you can drag and drop your design and really make it gorgeous. Go to the Squarespace site and look at the examples for an idea. What are you looking at me?
Well, I'm looking at you because you know the CEO of Squarespace, Dane, right?
Yeah.
Dane Atkinson. He came to me with this brilliant idea. We were never able to figure out a way to make it quite easy, but it's so easy to take your existing HTML from your current website and put it in the other.
Absolutely.
He had the, we'll say, theoretical idea that on a lark it might be funny to copy somebody else's HTML, like for example, a famous celebrity blogger or some kind of,
that'd be funny.
Yeah, exactly.
And make your site look exactly the same.
Yeah, so you think you're going to PerezHilton.com, and all of a sudden there's a story about you walking into the Apple Store. And because Squarespace is so easy, you open an account instantly. You don't even need a credit card. You're online within seconds, copy and paste, and you freak your friends out with it. And then once you see how easy it is, then you will use the code TWIT.
Yeah. Squarespace.com/twit. $8 a month, but do take a look and do the freebie, because you'll be very impressed by what you can do. Everything from $8 for the basic account, $50 a month gives you a community account with lots of bandwidth, lots of different editors. This is one of the nice things you could do with Squarespace, multiple editors. All sorts of interesting features. The virtual private storage, surveys rather, make it incredible. You'd never have to worry about getting slash dotted or dug. Squarespace.com/twit. We thank them so much for their support of This Week in Tech.
Life is so easy in a Squarespace.
I didn't hear that at first. I didn't know what it was saying. I was like, what is
life
that jingle?
Is so easy in a Squarespace.
I love it. Did they come that to you, or did you bring that to
we
them?
We made that up.
That's awesome.
In fact, they haven't even said we could do it.
I'm pretty sure after hearing this episode,
they're
the last
never going to want
please
that
stop
again.
Playing that jingle.
So here's the interesting deal. Hulu, we've heard these rumors for a while, but Hulu is about to start doing an iPad and an Xbox version. Now, you'll pay.
Oh, dude, I would so pay for Xbox.
How much would you pay?
Well, I don't know. I almost bought, there's a service called PlayOn that sits on your desktop and that allows you to use your desktop to access Hulu remotely. And I used the trial and I loved it. And I remember thinking I would almost buy this, but the fact that it was tied to my desktop seemed complicated enough that I was worried like, oh, well, if my desktop's off, I got to go turn it on or whatever. So if it's direct, I mean, I'm going to name that price, Leo. $20 a year.
Oh, a year?
Yeah.
I think they're thinking $10 a month.
Okay, that's not going to happen.
No, okay, here's the deal. By the way, Hulu is very profitable.
Access a website that's already
free
to access?
$100 million in advertising revenue last year at Hulu.com.
Congratulations.
So it's doing okay. It's according to this story, which ran in Reuters, they'll continue to offer newer episodes of shows like Glee, or I guess it won't be new episodes of Lost ever again, but...
What's the one? Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Love that show.
Hulu is the reason that I got into that show.
That's right. I would not have known about that show if it weren't for the
But
balance.
Your friend comes over and he's obsessed. He's like, oh, you gotta watch it. You gotta watch 8 episodes right
so
now.
The new shows will be free, which makes sense because that's how you get people watching the show, right? But they'll charge viewers a monthly fee to see older episodes and other content.
I don't even know if I hate that. That's kind of okay because at that point, if you're going into the archives and you just want to go back and experience the back catalog, I'd pay a premium for that. But mainly, you know, Hulu's a weird case because for all of us in new media, we kind of hate them because they represent old media content, but we also want them to be crazy successful because, you know, that means that there's healthy room for growth in the online space.
Xbox and, you know, maybe they'll announce this at E3. This might be one of the announcements. Microsoft's got some big announcements coming.
And they claimed, as a matter of fact, I don't want to jump ahead, but Microsoft said they have a bigger announcement than Natal. Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
Which, by the way, you're getting up at what time to go see Natal tomorrow?
We're going to do, Brian and I are going down to LA right after the show today because we're going to cover E3 for a couple of days. So day one, Monday, tomorrow, is Microsoft Day. That's the Microsoft Press Conference. We'll broadcast that live at 10 a.m. Tom Merritt and Sarah Lane will be here in studio commentating as we did with the Worldwide Developers Conference on last Monday.
And I guess during that time, we're using their feed, so we won't be on camera. It'll be the regular feed.
It'll be exactly what we did with the Google thing, which was
right.
It'll be like Mystery Science 3 to 3000. They'll be commenting as Microsoft talks about it. And then you and I are going to be down there, but we have to get up very early.
Yes.
Becky Worley, who works for Good Morning America, got an exclusive with Microsoft to be the first to show Natal on GMA.
Wow.
And to reveal the name and pricing and all the information that we're waiting to hear about Natal. She's going to do that at 4:30 a.m.
Oh, my God.
Well, see, that's because she's in California. It's 7:30 East Coast time, and it's a morning show. So
I guess that's right.
Yeah. So, but she very kindly interceded on our behalf because basically we were standing there with something in our hands that we didn't want to hold.
Yeah.
And just had nothing. And she said, can Leo and Brian come and.
Now I'm not going to be, I will be up that early, but I won't be there with you because the only flight I could get that, allow me to do NSFW tonight.
Where's my vuvuzela?
I'm gonna be on a plane, and then I hit the ground running, and then I join you.
If at some point, about 3 a.m. tomorrow night.
And I'm like, hello, who is this? Who is this? State your name, sir.
You hear something coming through the phone. I can't believe it. You're not going to be there at that early?
There we go.
I have a call for a Brian Brushwood.
don't be surprised if...
I'll be watching you. I'll be listening to you on
my
Twitch.
So
it's
me? Just me?
Yeah, it's so, for that. But then I get there. I arrive at 7 o'clock and then I join you.
All right, fine. So I will be all alone with the Project Natal. We will have it right after ABC does. We'll have that we're going to stream it 5:30 a.m. Pacific, but that's 8:30 Eastern.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's not bad. That's afternoon UTC, so you'll be...
Boy, that's when you're really stretching. You're like where they're playing the World Cup, it'll be in the afternoon sometime.
It'll be great. It'll be middle... Yeah, so in the UK, you'll be able to watch this at 12:30
that's right.
in the afternoon. So we will do that, and then we'll come back. We'll cover the press conference. We'll have that video, but we'll have whatever else they announce. You're right.
I got us an appointment. I didn't know. I made it clear that we may or may not make it on time, but the folks from MTV Games, I promised them I wouldn't say what game, but if you read anything about video games in the news, you probably have an idea what video game we have the chance to get hands-on with on a stage with colored lights.
You're kidding. When's that?
We'll be rocking out, you might say. But 12:30 on Tuesday is what I put us down
okay.
for.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
So the next day we're going to stream live from the show floor, and that will be part of it.
Awesome.
Starting noon to 2:30. And that's thanks, by the way, and this I would have never thought I would ever be saying, that's thanks to G4.
No kidding.
Well, when we I know Jim Cutler's going, what?
All of a sudden, Jim Cutler totally hulks out. He turns green and starts
G4. Well, I know we all got fired, but that was a long time ago, and it was different.
Jim Smash,
no,
G4.
No, I buzzed and tweeted that we couldn't cover it because this is weird. I've never, and maybe John, you've heard of this, but I've never heard of it. This trade show and these press conferences all have done exclusives with other media outlets. So, for instance, we can't be at the Microsoft event because Spike or MTV has an exclusive.
Huh.
And we can't, we thought we couldn't stream from the E3 show floor because G4 has a streaming live exclusive. So we can't cover this.
But they reached out to you on this, right?
Well, I buzzed. I said, I'm devastated. We wanted to do E3 coverage, but we've been told we can't go in. And because of G4's exclusive, and they called and said, well, no, we'll get you in. So thanks to the G4 and the auspices of G4, we're going to be broadcasting live.
Hopefully it's a case where G4 realizes that there are different jobs for different media.
You're not competing.
Well, exactly. It's like
I don't want
the coverage that's up to the minute, walking around. They're following characters on the show floor are not necessarily the same type of people who are tuning in, after 3 o'clock.
Do I look like Olivia Munn to you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah,
I could. You wear the wig?
Speedo.
This whole deal sounds like a crock of crap as far as I'm concerned. Generally speaking, if you're going to have a press conference,
right,
you don't start throwing exclusives out to people
right.
before press conference.
I couldn't figure out, John. I thought maybe
it's got to be part of either the, you know, the only thing I can think of, I'm just dreaming this up. I have no idea what's going on. But it's possible that they got a better deal at the show. They gave them a discount if the show had, you know, there may be some underhanded dealings where there's some, you know, money changing hands to allow this. Because insofar as publicity is concerned, there's no advantage to giving anybody an exclusive.
Why would Microsoft?
It's a total disadvantage, A, and B, journalists traditionally get very annoyed by this because they get burned by this and they will blackball you.
Right. And I almost walked away. To be honest, I said, well, all right, you don't want coverage. I guess you're happy with G4 and Spike. But if you don't want coverage, I'm not going to give you coverage. Because this, I mean, it's called a press conference. It's not called a Spike conference.
Well, and it's press only. I mean, it's a media only.
Yeah, so you can go in, but you just can't stream it. So anyway, we got it resolved. We're going to be there. We're going to be, and thank you, G4. What we'll do is we'll go to 2:30. Their coverage begins at 2:30, or actually it may even begin at 2, and they're going to be covering it live. So, you know, it's actually kind of fun. I'll probably see Adam Sessler and Morgan Webb, and it'll be kind of fun.
Is this anything besides Microsoft pulling this stunt? You said Microsoft, was there
no,
another player?
No, all of them.
Yeah, it's the
E3. Everybody's doing a deal?
This is how they do it, apparently how they do it. I think, yeah, Microsoft, ESA, which runs E3, had an exclusive with G4. I don't know. It may be the same with Sony and Nintendo. But my thought was, it's so hard to get coverage, like nobody wants to cover it. So they just, the exclusive was, please cover us.
Yeah.
We'll give you an exclusive.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's what I thought.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Like, who's going to, well, anyway.
Well, I'll tell you this much. Like, for the last 2 years, ever since they restructured E3 and they made it less of a public spectacle, I have sat at my computer, watched all of the live streaming things, read all of the live blogs, and enjoyed the news as it came in. And this is very exciting for me to actually be there in person.
I'm stoked. And, now tell us about Natal. You say there's going to be some big announcements.
Well, Microsoft claims they have an announcement bigger than Natal. And
what is Natal may not be so big. Well, let's be honest,
thing, right? It's like
Natal is where you go, like you wave around and play the game, and you're going like this. Which, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, I had on my PS2 with the iCam like 10 years ago, right?
Well, and that's the thing is they. It's like they watched. They watched the success of the Nintendo Wii, and they're like, wait a minute. People don't like regular controls. They like herky-jerky in their body all around. I know. No control.
No control
just,
at all.
You just spaz out in front of your screen.
Do whatever you want.
And balls go flying everywhere, and you get
It'll
points.
It'll be great.
There'll be money in the
bank. You know, it's interesting. Sony is going to announce basically a Wiimote for the PlayStation 3.
Yeah, and Sony, what's interesting is to see the way everybody jockeys for position. Yeah. Right. And the way Sony's thing is they're like, hey, man, you can't be precise with no – you really want to hold nothing? At least hold something. It'll be super precise, and you'll look awesome pretending to shoot bows.
I like game controllers. I need green. I mean,
well, and that's the way I am, too. I don't understand this. Now, the parts that I really do like about Natal, what I've heard about before, and, of course, all of this will probably be out of date by the time most people listen to the podcast, but I love the facial recognition, the idea that you walk into the room, and it says, hello, Brian. What game would you like to play? That's the voice I imagine.
Oh, that's interesting. So it'll know it's you.
Right. And more importantly, it recognizes your kids. If your kids are in the room, it'll say, yeah, this is a rated M title.
No,
we don't want
it's
Johnny
watching.
It's going
to be nanny Xbox.
Well, and I tell you, it's one of those things that we all hate until we have.
I don't think you want to play that, Brian.
Until we have 7-year-olds. And then we're like, well, sure I'm glad I can turn this off.
You don't want to play Modern Warcraft 2. You want to do some more racing.
You want to play Space Hearts.
Yes. How about a nice game of Lego Star Wars?
Our kids are having the argument from 2001. They're like, open the Rock Band 3, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave.
I'm predicting this thing's going to be a bust.
Well, we'll see. We may, you know, we're going to be down there and we'll see what happens.
I think.
No, I'm talking about the overall, the market for the.
I agree. I think, I don't get Natal.
I'm highly skeptical of Natal as I've seen it demonstrated before, but Natal has that iPad, iPhone effect. Everybody who's seen it live came away drooling like there's something magical about it. So I don't know.
But you saw that dorky video of Veronica jumping around. I mean, it did not look good. I mean, and if something that Veronica does not look good, that's not good. Because pretty much no matter what she does, that looks good.
She makes everything look
good. She makes everything look good. Make everything sound
like
good.
If she can't save Natal, no
one can. No one can. So as people turn to the internet to catch movies, TV shows, and other content, eMarketer says that by 2014, 77% of all internet users will watch videos online.
I can't believe it's still that it would be that low.
It seems like it should be higher now.
Well, I mean, I guess the way it's phrased is at all. Like, they will watch any video online. I can't believe
currently it's only 66.7%.
4 years.
This is
and
bogus.
Only 11% growth?
No, it's going to be 100% of video will be online in the year 2014.
You heard Leo, it'll be 100% in 20 minutes.
Yeah. In the year 2525. If man.
If indeed man's still alive.
Still alive. If woman can survive, they'll be watching their video on the internet. Video growth overall is slowing, it says, or will slow.
Now, that, I don't know. It seems like that would be a symptom of maturing, would it not?
Yeah, but I guess 77% means almost everybody, right?
I mean, virtually everything that comes out on television now is instantly available in some kind of online format, yeah. Whether it be Hulu, whether it be, I guess, on demand, YouTube.
Violent video games are harmless. John, you've said this for years. Now, according to the Review of General Psychology, Texas A&M researchers examined 118 teens and found that violent video games actually are quite safe for most youths to play. The only youths who shouldn't play violent video games are those who tend to be...
Violent.
Violent.
Psychopaths.
Yeah. Highly neurotic, less agreeable, and less conscientious.
Yeah. Makes sense.
If you're not sick already, it's not going to make you sick. In fact, this is kind of interesting. As video games have become more popular, children in the U.S. and Europe are having fewer behavioral problems, are less violent. Now, this might be false causality. I mean, we don't know why. And score better on standardized tests. Violent video games, at least we know this, have not created a generation of crazed, whacked out youth trying to kill zombies with a
This is
mallet.
A very predictable formula that happens year after year. Every decade, there's a new form of entertainment that puzzles the older generation. In my generation, it was Dungeons & Dragons. Dungeons & Dragons are going to make you crazy. You're going to want to cast spells.
By the way, Brian, that did make people crazy. Dungeons and Dragons.
It made adults crazy.
Completely insane.
You kids.
It made adults lonely is what it made them. Sitting in their parents' basement at all. And what happens is the generation gets older and they realize that the world isn't going to end. And then they're like, oh, well, we'll wait for the next thing.
Now,
next, it'll be Twitter.
We should, and Don Reisinger is reporting this on CNET. In his column, The Digital Home, he does say, well, that's one study, a recent study from Iowa, which was actually a survey of 130 different studies on violent video games, says, in fact, youths are negatively affected by violent video games. Quote, we can now say with utmost confidence that regardless of research method, that is experimental, correlational, or longitudinal, and regardless of the cultures tested in the study, East versus West, you get the same effect. Exposure to violent video games increases the likelihood of aggressive behavior in both short and long-term contexts.
Now, I wonder how much of that is self-correcting, because the type of people who have violent tendencies or whatever seem like the type of people who are going to want to express them in a video game environment, which I would say is healthier than expressing them in real life.
Are you shuffling cards, John? What are you up to there with this?
I'm shuffling cards.
He's working on this deal.
But like, meanwhile, the type of people who don't have violent tendencies, there are video games that are too violent. Like my daughter is 6 years old and there's this awesome, awesome game on the Adult Swim website called Robot Unicorn Attack.
Yes.
And it's too violent for my six-year-old daughter.
Robot unicorn attack!
It's a robot unicorn that just jumps. That's all the game is. But when when you jump wrong, it blows up. And that's too violent for my daughter. So it's like,
How
I don't
about
think...
Vuvuzela attack? Vuvuzela attack!
I think you guys are high.
Robot unicorn Vuvuzela.
Oh, baby. Now, that's scary.
That's a long scream.
That's a scary-ass game. Now, somebody in the chat room is pointing out that Iowa study is by Craig Anderson. And I have to say, this underscores the fact that it also depends who's doing this and what axe they have to grind.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Because this guy, you know, thinks all media is bad.
Who
for
is
it,
the guy? There was a guy that recently got disbarred because
he
was on
the
Florida
crew.
He called it simulated murder.
Yeah.
The chat room will have the answer for us instantly. But I was listening to the PC Gamer podcast and they could barely contain their joy as they reported
Jack
the news.
Jack Thompson,
the guy who is on this outrageous, with no evidence to support him, Bender, saying that video games were simulated
he had a bug
murder.
Up his ass. Yeah, he was
yeah.
really.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
All right, we're going to come back.
Got it all at once.
Well, before you go off to that commercial, let me add something to this conversation.
Certainly.
You know, video games, or I mean, most simulations done by the Army, or if you're going to learn to fly a 747, for example, you go into a simulator, which is nothing more than a glamorized video game. And the Army Tank Corps uses these sorts of games to improve their skills. So you can actually, I mean, the video game might not turn you violent, but if you are, you know, the simulations are real. I mean, you actually do learn things. I've always said that my sons who like to play Grand Theft Auto wouldn't go steal a car, but if they ever did, they'd be good at it.
Absolutely. And that has two sides. First of all, for example, we went and played paintball for the first time. I had never played paintball ever. But the moment the game started, there were things I just inherently knew because
like, get the BFG 9000.
Well, always strafe, always come at them from the side. And more importantly,
I was playing a laser tag a couple of weeks ago, and I camped on the spawn point. And that really works.
Well, and I tell you, there was a time that I honestly think video games saved my life.
No, it doesn't work in Mogadishu.
I was in an ice skid. Austin doesn't get cold weather very often, and when it does, nobody knows how to drive on it. And so, sure enough, I started a skid, and it was totally automatic without thinking about it. I'd been playing a lot of Need for Speed at the time, and I rode the skid properly. Jim looks like he has something. You had the exact same thing happen.
I did the same thing driving up here. I was going.
He's not on mic, so pull on mic.
Somebody in the chat room chimed in. Games don't make you a killer; they make you a better killer.
The same thing happened to me. I was coming up here too fast, and I said to my wife, "I learned from the game Blur not to hit the brakes in the turn. Hit the brakes when
after
you're going
the
straight.
Turn.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
So." There you go.
You accelerate into the turn, you break out of it.
So we may be more violent, but we're safer drivers.
You notice, though, that things are more violent today on the roads because of video games. Because
you think road rage is more common?
10 years ago, did you ever see people throwing bananas out onto the road and having your car spin around?
Wait, are you accusing this of being because of Mario Kart? Is that what you're saying? They're expecting it to, and turtle shells.
Never would you see that. You would never see that. All right, we're going to celebrate some anniversaries in just a bit. I should mention, give him credit, Jim Cutler is in the studio. Jim was for many years the voice of Tech TV. He did a lot of our promo stuff. He's still the voice of many, many television and radio stations. It's nice to see you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I say the netcast you love, and I hear more people say, hey, I hear you're on Twitch.
He's on the beginning of every show. He's the guy with netcast you love. And then it's actually a friend who says, from people you trust. I should get Dawn to do that.
Can I get you to record an intro for NSFW?
Sure.
Like netcast you hate from people you don't trust.
Well, Jim recorded some really funny ones that we've only used a few times. Like, there was one about Sarah Lane. Netcast you love from people you trust.
No, it was when Sarah had broken up with
Kevin.
And I said, it was an intro for when Kevin was going to be on it. I said, hey, Kevin's, Sarah's my sister or something.
Yeah, Kevin Rose. Here, I have a few of those still somewhere that I haven't used them, all the gag ones that Jim cut. But maybe you could cut some more. Sure. Jim's the greatest. Jim Cutler. JimCutler.com?
Yes, indeed.
Give you a plug.
Thank you.
We shall return in just a little. I should make Jim read the commercial because he's a professional.
Is this an audible?
You want to do an audible spot?
I'd like to participate.
Are you an Audible listener?
I got into Audible because of you. Are you kidding? I back up with Carbonite. All right? I'm into Audible books.
He does it all.
I love Audible.
He does it all. By the way, John has put up, I like this, one of those old Indian head test patterns. Where'd you get that, John? That's awesome.
That looks like a physical piece of paper he put in front of
it. Oh, it definitely is.
Yeah.
It is. Look, it moves. Yeah, that is a copy.
After Effects plug-in? How are you doing that?
You know, I have one with my head in it. In an Indian. Somebody sent me one. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So let's mention Audible. Audible.com, longtime sponsor of the show. They do great stuff. You should do an audiobook. Have you or Dawn ever thought about doing an audiobook?
I have. I would love to do an audiobook.
I don't know if there's much money
in it.
I
know you did one.
It's a lot. Yeah, I did a short one. It's a lot of work.
But I got into audio. Oh, I did do an audiobook.
You did in Boston?
I got into Audible because of you, and I should do the spot like Jason Calacanis does. I should say,
Audible.
I should say, me and Robert Redford were hanging out with Madonna, listening to an audiobook. No, I'm just kidding. I'm a kidder.
It's kind of Jason right there.
But I got into audiobooks with John's suggestion. John said, get Economic Hitman.
Oh, yeah. What Confessions of an Economic Hitman.
Great book. From there, I went on to another Twit suggestion, which was the book about the divers. I don't remember.
Oh, Shadow Divers.
What
awesome.
A book. If you're thinking about an Audible account, just start with those two, it will blow you away.
I agree.
They are great books. Audible is terrific because, actually, I need a better account because I go through a book very quickly. I guess you can get two.
There's a gold account, which is one book a month.
Yeah.
And then we have a deal for the platinum account, which is two a month. You have more. You need more than two?
No, I only have one.
Oh, you should get the platinum. So okay. You go to audible. This is such a setup. I can't believe you did it. Just go to audible.com/twit2. And by the way, because Jim's a voiceover guy, we're not showing his face, just his hands. And the microphone. Go to audible.com/twit2, and when you sign up for the Platinum account, you get two books. Now, I say free, and I should explain what that means. It means your first two books, they don't charge you for. They will charge you the next month unless you quit, and you can cancel at any time, and those books will always be yours to keep. So it's free in that respect.
I have done that a couple of times. I've deleted a book, and then you go back to the
site. Oh, it's always there.
And your books are always there.
Yeah, unlike iTunes, you can get your book all the time. Here's that book you recommended, Shadow Divers, Two Americans Who Risked Everything to Solve One of the Last Mysteries of World War II. This is about a true story of deep-sea divers who discover a U-boat. And it is really an amazing story. I'm going to search for... I did for a while ago for Audible my top 20... books, and I should put this link in the show notes. It's Leo Laporte's top 20. You could probably just Google Leo Laporte's top 20 and audible.com, and that Shadow Divers is one of them that I highly. These are books that are great books but also great performances, and that's one of the things about Audible.
Oh, right there, Born Standing Up. I read
Steve
that
Martin,
one last year. Phenomenal.
And he reads it, and he reads it. So yeah. It's his voice, which is awesome. David McCullough doing John Adams, unbelievable. Life of Pi, Jan Martel did an amazing job of bringing that book to life. It was a great book, beautiful, beautiful book. And Jan Martel does a wonderful job reading it. Neil Gaiman reads a number of his books, but actually the recommendation I make for Neverwhere was not read by Neil Gaiman, but I don't think he read that one.
Yeah, a lot of people think that read by the author is
not
the best way to go.
Good.
I disagree. I, in general, want somebody who's a professional at making books sound awesome,
unless,
like Jim.
Unless the author is John Hodgman. Reading the areas of my expertise. Now, there's an author who
Believe
can read.
Believe me, this that was the true. Last thing I wanted to do, and I suspect the last thing you wanted as well. But I think we both knew it was inevitable. Certainly my publisher felt that it was, frequently pointing to my contract and its damned inevitability clause, which I should never have agreed to.
John Hodgman reading the areas of my expertise. Don't get fooled by the abridged here. It's only abridged in the strictest sense of the word. It's actually more material in the audiobook. Audible.com/twit2. I'll be honest with you, the hard thing is going to be to choose just two books. There's so many great ones, but you know, it's just the beginning of a lifelong relationship with
Audible. Once you start, dude, you're going to be doing it a long time.
Here's one that I really liked. I don't know if people know this. C.S. Lewis, who wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, was also a famous Christian philosopher. And he wrote a book called The Screwtape Letters, which was the devil writing to a demon talking about how to hoodwink mankind. Now, whether you believe or not, it is one of the best, most funny books ever written. And I've got the wrong one on here. The one I like is narrated by John Cleese.
Oh,
so John Cleese,
could that be any better?
As the devil. So there's a number of versions of this, because this is Ralph Cosham reading it. And maybe they no longer have the John Cleese version. Boy, that was incredible.
Can I recommend one too?
Sure.
There's a wonderful author named Paulo Coelho.
Oh, I love this. Oh, I have it too.
The Alchemist.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite books. Absolutely.
Now, briefly,
wonderful.
Apple offered that book for free.
Did they?
Really?
But you know what? It's going to be yours free again. One more time. Just go to audible.com/twit2, The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. That's got an interesting story because that book was not selling. And Coelho really wanted his publisher to give it away, and they wouldn't. So he went to Russia, and he's Brazilian, and gave it away in Russia and got word of mouth going around in Russia and created a whole bunch of interest in this book and literally propelled the book to bestseller status. It's a fascinating story and a really beautiful book about a little shepherd boy.
It's about following your dreams.
That's what it is. And since you and I
dream
both...
Dream followers, where has that gotten us? Oh, wait.
Are there any dream followers in this room?
Yeah, right? That's the other thing I love, is the type of people who show up on this program all tend to be people who go against the grain.
Yeah. By the way, Jeff Jarvis called Paulo Coelho the googliest author. in What Would Google Do? he's the googliest author. A fan posted a Russian translation of one of his novels online. Sales of his book went from 3,000 to 1 million in 3 years with no additional promotion.
It's that good of a book.
And so he started putting his books on Pirate Bay.
Wow.
Is that a great story?
He's a cool guy.
Yeah. He just says, come on, download it.
I dare you.
I dare you.
And go.
But now they sell. And this is what Cory Doctorow has always said. You don't have to hold on so tight. People will reward your work if it's good work. Audible.com/twit2. We thank them for rewarding our work. Steve Ballmer has been at Microsoft for 30... Oh, John.
You could take down the...
he's gone.
The Indian
he's morphed.
Head. He's gone. Oh, somebody's saying there's a...
I'm back.
Hardcover of The Alchemist with art by Mobius. Now, that would be awesome.
Oh, wow.
Would that not be awesome? Incredible. I wonder where if I can find my test pattern. I have an Indian head test pattern.
Well,
I
know you're just not a copycat.
I'm what's on the screen right now.
I had it first.
Leo, when John was doing Silicon Spin, I wrote a letter to Tech TV. I guess it was EDTV at the time.
Get that ass off the air.
No. And by the way, every once
kept
in a while,
plenty of them.
Every once in a while, you have some hipster on here, and I forget who it is, but they keep calling him Dvorak. Hey, Dvorak. It's Mr. Dvorak.
Mr. Dvorak.
He's been around since Mark Twain.
Thank you, John. He deserves to be Mr. Dvorak. He's anyway, Mr.
Call me Mr.
So I wrote a letter to ZDTV saying, hey, leave John alone. You're obviously making him do the same ad lib at the beginning of Silicon Spin. He'd say, all right, we got these coffee mugs, and he'd hold up, and soon it's going to be on eBay. And it was the same ad lib literally every day. And I know what that is. That's a producer saying, come on, you got to be loose, John. You got to do this ad lib.
Somehow I doubt it.
I wrote this angry letter, and then a week later, I get a call to be the voice of Tech TV.
Oh, that's funny. Thought,
oh, man, I hope nobody knows.
Where's my finder's fee?
That.
You found Jim Cutler in a world where coffee cups are sold on eBay. Steve Ballmer has been, I find this hard to believe, at Microsoft 30 years ago, June 11th was his anniversary. He was hired on as its first business manager. You want to guess what his salary was as the 24th employee at Microsoft?
$22,000.
No, it was a little more than that. It's
$50,000.
He was hired for Microsoft.
Yeah, probably. He has served as the head of operating systems development, operations, and sales and support. Of course, he's the CEO today. Is Steve Ballmer good for Microsoft, John C. Dvorak?
Well, I wrote an entire column on this for MarketWatch.
What a surprise.
I think 2 weeks ago. so MarketWatch.com. You might want to read it.
Okay.
My thinking is that if you take a look at Horowitz and I talked about this too. If you take a look at the graph that's been going around, oh, look at this compared to Apple. You don't compare anything to Apple. Apple goes up and down and up and down. And the fact is that the company was in the toilet when Steve Jobs came around. So now they're trying to make Ballmer look like an idiot because, because all of a sudden Apple looks so good. And Microsoft has actually been flat. But if you look at anybody else's stock from the year 2000, because Microsoft ramped to 2000, essentially the stock went flat. Compare it to Yahoo's stock, which took the big dip that everybody else took when the dot-com collapse occurred. It never happened to Microsoft. They stabilized at a very high level, and they kind of stayed there. Yeah, the stock hasn't done anything since the year 2000, but it's beside the point. The company makes a lot of money, and I don't see anybody else running the company except Ballmer, and I think they criticize him because he's pretty much of a screwball, and he's like, he doesn't do anything.
He's a character, that's for sure.
He doesn't collect cars. He doesn't do yacht racing. He doesn't do all the stuff that Larry Ellison does that's kind of interesting. And so he's kind of a dull guy by comparison. But the fact of the matter is, who would replace him? Nobody.
Yeah. Who would want to?
Well, that too.
Maybe he'll run for governor of California. Why the hell not?
Or Washington. He could definitely do better than the person that's up there. But the point is that Ballmer is always being, slammed. And it's because he's relatively uninteresting. And he's also does this crazy, he did the monkey dance and all the rest of it, which is made him
bad. Developers.
Yeah. But as soon as everyone can do an impression of you.
Unless they come up with a genius that can do something wild, I think that, the company is fine. I mean, but, the stock's in it hasn't done anything and it never will again.
Is it because it's a hard act to follow Bill Gates? How can you follow Bill Gates?
Well, you know, Bill Gates was working with Ballmer all those years, and, you know, they've had other CEOs come and go. And Gates is a charismatic character, and Ballmer's not. That's the difference.
Right, right. Well, Microsoft, you know, I think one of the reasons they succeeded in this decade is because they were in the sweet spot of technology, which is selling an operating system.
The sweet spot, of course, being dominant all computer operating internet system OS sales.
And software. But we're moving to the cloud, and I don't know if Microsoft can make that move very effectively. And I don't know if Microsoft has much of a future in a cloud-dominated world.
Oh, you know, I'm not buying into this cloud is everything. I mean, a couple of collapses, you know, people losing stuff. I mean, the problem I have with the cloud is not that it doesn't, you know, isn't a good idea for certain things like maybe backups. But the fact of the matter is you're on some system, let's say Google or some other, you know, program that, you know, Google, for example, wants you to have to make sure that you use the same exact email address for everything you do there. So you start doing that. You start getting in the cloud. You're totally involved with the Google cloud, let's say. And then for some reason or other, because of your account being compromised or something else, that maybe your Gmail account, you start sending out spam. Google says, oh, this guy, let's cut him off. You get cut off from the cloud. You cut off. They just slant. And who do you call? What customer service exists at Google? You could have all your stuff pretty much tied up for months on end.
I was really shocked. My assistant, OMG Chad, wanted a particular account on YouTube. And, that was OMG Chad. The guy had never used it. And he is in the process of trademarking the name. So we tried to call because the instructions on the website were very Byzantine, very difficult to figure out what we were supposed to do. I was shocked at how almost belligerently unhelpful. You could tell that there's, you know, I've worked in a call center before, and you could tell when there's a culture that's been created that pretty much says, yay, give them the runaround until they hang up.
Right.
And this was clearly the case. It was just like they stated over and over again, read the paper, read the paper. I'm like, I'm reading the exact article you're pointing to. It does not answer my question. And you don't get anywhere until you say, can I speak to a supervisor? And they say, why? They're going to tell you the same thing I'm going to tell you. And it wasn't until I said, I'm sorry, are you refusing to escalate my call to a supervisor, that they actually listened and did something about it. I was shocked at how unhelpful real people were when I called Google.
Google's not known for support. In fact, I didn't even know they had a support. Well,
you had to do some
searching.
If you're
going to go into the cloud and do all
something.
These promise, you know, these promise services,
they better
you
have support.
The service. You know, they should find the old group that used to do WordPerfect support. That was notorious for being unbelievably great. I mean, WordPerfect was
never a
product that I ever liked, but it was like people.
But people liked
man,
it just because of the support. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're not alone. The Pew Institute, the Pew Center research people, folks for the Internet and American Life Project said in a survey, by 2020, Internet users say they will keep their data mostly in the cloud. However, when asked, Chief Scientist Craig Partridge at BBN, who invented the Internet, by the way, said, I think the big issue will be information privacy. How you really control access to your valuable data if it's in the cloud. We've seen this with Facebook. You know, once they got the data, they can kind of do what they want with it. How do you retrieve your prized novel or your business records if the cloud fails?
I'm much less worried about the cloud failing than I am worried about my account being compromised.
How
just
about this one?
Just in the last 6 weeks, I've had two people send me desperate emails that they were stuck in England and needed me to wire them some money.
Uh-huh.
Call
I get
them
that
on
the all
phone.
The time.
Yep. And it's like once that happens to your cloud account, I mean, you're screwed.
Yep. How about this one? We will have a huge blowout. This is Ray Wang, partner at the Altimeter Group. We'll have a huge blow up with terrorism in the cloud, and people will go back to the PC. People will lose confidence.
Terrorists will blow up the cloud.
As cyber attacks cripple major systems. The cloud will be there, but we'll be stuck in hybrid mode for at least the next 40 years as people live with some level of fear.
Is there a way on Google Docs for me to back up a hard copy of everything, like with one click, just one giant file that I could keep on a physical drive in the event that everything becomes compromised?
You should go to the Data Liberation Front.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This is a Google project, dataliberation.org. Google realized that this was a real concern, I think, for people that they were storing their stuff. And so Google created this kind of pirate side organization whose mission statement is users should be able to control the data they store in any of Google's products. Our team's goal is to make it easier to move data in and out. And so they're exactly doing what you want, which is creating a way for people to get the data out. Now I use Backupify,
Bunch of people in the chat room are saying Backupify.
Yeah.
So that'll work for that?
Yeah, Backupify is pretty amazing. But I think what you're going to see is Google themselves realizing that they're never going to get people adopting the cloud unless they answer these specific issues.
Well, and chat room is pointing out you can always save the files locally from the cloud, but I do not want to go through and save individual files.
There's a zip.
I want to know
if
everything.
If you go to Google Docs, there's a button that will save everything as a zip.
Good, good.
Backupify does it automatically, though. See, that's manual. I think you should do it automatically. So Backupify will back up your Gmail, will back up your Flickr, your Facebook. One of the things that made it easy for me to delete my Facebook account was I've been using Backupify. So every picture and everything, I didn't have to worry if I had duplicates. I did. I knew I'd. But just in case, Google Docs, Google Calendar, Gmail, Facebook, Twitter, all backed up. This is a great service. They were giving it away for free when I started doing it.
Talking about duplicates.
Yeah.
Is there a program out there, a good one, that can just plow through your hard disk, look at checksums and dates and everything, and find all? I mean, I have so many duplicates of various files and especially columns, because I'm always fearful that I'm going to, you know, I keep a thumb drive, actually, with all my work in it. It's like 2 gigabyte thumb drive I keep in the car.
And oh, man. There you go. That's it. Just keep your data in the car.
It seems like the good thing to do, because if the house burns to the ground, you're going to have your backups go with it, right?
That's why I keep spare clothes and water in the car.
Well, I actually keep my spare clothes in water.
There you go. They'll never burn. Booyah.
But anyway, so the point is there some good program... Yeah, good program that goes through your plows through your terabyte hard drive, and gives you a list of the backups or the ones you have too many copies of. 5 copies, you don't need it.
That is
sure
almost certainly. I think that's going to be
what? I don't know. Dduper.com.
Did you just make that up? Is there a Dduper?
Oh, there's a lot. There's 1,000 Ddupers.
Well, I tell you what.
There's even Super Deduper.
There's Super Deduper Pooper Scooper.
I'll look into it. Maybe I'll ask my Twitter followers. Maybe they'll come
duplicate
up with
cleaner.
Since you are not taking this seriously.
No, I'm giving you real stuff. This is all from the chat room. Duplicate cleaner. I know there's Deduper. I've used that. Clone remover. But the chat room seems to agree that duplicate cleaner is their favorite.
Now, I tell you,
they're seeing a lot of Super Deduper.
I just made that.
Or they're
that
just
up.
Making fun of you.
They're making fun of me. Duplicate cleaner from Digital Volcano, John.
I think there's a tremendous market for software that interprets all these duplicates. Whatever happened to, I heard there was an initiative that Microsoft was working on a couple of years ago where it would look at all of your pictures, figure out, hey, all these were taken at around the same time, compositionally, they all look really similar. This is clearly a trip you went on, and it put it in a file and organize them together.
Yeah, whatever happened to that stuff?
I don't know. I'm waiting for
BS
it because I've
for
got
Microsoft.
I got a bunch of duplicate files, and I have no idea what came when.
There, you know, it seems like it's interesting because we've been given the tools to pump out a lot of data, and it really is easy to create a ton of stuff, and we're just not given the tools yet to manage it. It's the same thing with information on the internet. I mean, I think that this is the next stage of internet. Will be how to make sense of it.
Right. We need aggregators. We need software.
Curators, aggregators, interpreters.
Just as Google is the Finder app that allows us to find anything on the internet, we need the Meta Google that will allow us to organize and understand.
Well, and I talked about this on the radio show today because I think that Google's already seeing that their days are numbered as a search engine because nowadays this search is not what you want.
You know,
search is too blunt of an instrument. You want somebody to tell you what's the hot new thing, what's the great video, what's the place to go. How would you use Google to find the best clone deduper?
What I want is to go to Google.
Right.
What I want is to go to Google and find an annoying, giant, high-res, random picture in the background. If only they would do that.
If only they'd... You
for
mean,
about 12 hours
you mean
and then
like
pull the plug
Bing?
On it.
Now, well, I can't figure out if it's because they were worried Bing would sue them. Microsoft tweeted the funniest tweet.
Oh, dude. Yes, that was my favorite moment of the whole thing. It was Microsoft Europe that put out the exact tweet, and I know you're calling it up right now, but for those who missed it, for about, I guess it was around midnight on Friday night, I logged in, and I was shocked to see what looked like a terrible, crappy ripoff of Bing's nice image background.
I don't know
background.
How that got by Marissa Meyer, who is the keeper of the UI.
Turned on. This is Google who put out a press release about how they were able to shave one word off
right.
of, you know, because we
and
wanted to be as
millions
clean
of,
as possible.
Yeah.
And then they do the most obvious hack ripoff of Bing by throwing tacky, annoying, busy images in the background. This is the quote right here. This is the one.
This is on Twitter. My MS Europe. We've lost a background image. If found, please return to Bing.com. See, this is how you should respond. Instead of that nasty sniping that Apple and Google are doing where they're, hey, just tweet, make a funny tweet.
Well, I tell you, apparently enough people all disliked it, and apparently there was a bug.
I didn't even see it. I never got to see it.
Oh, dude, yeah, and there's apparently a bug that when you try to enable just going back to the white background, it wouldn't work properly, and people were so upset, and especially for a company that has built its brand around meaning one thing, precise, fast searches with no BS. You know, it's like you go, it's very simple, very crisp, very fast, and you get exactly what you want to do something that's so out of character and so obviously an attempt to borrow inspiration from the competition.
See, I like Bing. I like the, I mean, but this is Bing. It's already done.
Does anybody
right?
think it was a joke? Because
no.
Microsoft or Google's always pulling crazy stunts.
Not in this case. And one of the articles I read.
Look, by the way, look what's popular on Bing right now. World Cup results, Vandersloot, Tony Awards, and Vuvuzela!
Well, we have the title for the show.
By the way, I think it's Vuvuzela. I've been saying it wrong all this time.
You got to remember that Bing has a person carefully curate what images they put
it's
on there,
an old
and
saying,
they're all
win in
framed.
Rome, do as the Romans do. Now it's Confederations Cup time, and if you're in South Africa, whether you like it or not, you got to do the Vuvuzela.
The Confed Cup has brought a cross-section of soccer lovers into the stadium, but not everyone has been entirely happy with the icon of SA soccer culture.
And please, do not blow the vuvuzelas.
That's like an internet moment right now. You're like, please stop retweeting that link. Please.
Close your MiFi and do not blow. I would think next WWDC, next Steve Jobs keynote, we should all bring vuvuzelas.
I can't imagine anything going wrong with that.
Please do not blow the vuvuzela. By the way, they didn't stop for the vuvuzela.
And neither did the live bloggers for WWDC.
So crazy idea. I think there's no explanation about why Google would even consider doing this. It just doesn't make it's so uncharacteristic. I'd love to know what happened.
They wanted
Maybe
to show
it was a hack.
They wanted to showcase the fact that you could add a background image if you want. But the thing is, again, Bing has a person deciding on a balanced image that fits the layout.
Could it be that they are somehow threatened by Bing?
It certainly looked that way, and I don't
think
that's
the case. Was it a hack? It could be. What if somebody hacked them and they didn't want to admit it, or if it was a joke?
No, they clearly said.
I don't see why everybody wants to bypass this concept. It was only up for 2 hours.
Well, no, it was up for 12 hours.
John, you know why we want to bypass this, because if it were true, it would be terrifying.
Well, if it was a hack, it was one that involved sending out a press release on behalf of Google saying, we've added a grand new feature.
Yeah.
That is actually a pretty good idea for a hack, for a hoax. Send out a press release, do the hoax.
Maybe.
Why would they add this as a feature anyway?
I don't know.
Again, competition with Bing. People like it on the Bing.
Oh, maybe they like it. Sound in the world.
What is this?
Sounds like the parking lot after a Raiders game.
I don't know. Okay, we're going.
You got to keep that bookmarked every time conversation gets boring. You just play
that. You're the most annoying sound in the world. Anyway, so Google will not be putting, I guess they've changed their minds. Will not be.
So let's get back to this other issue which came up and which I think is important because I bring it up a lot and I'm going to keep bringing it up, which is the death of these search engines. If they can't deal with SEO, the fact, and in my example is like you try to find, besides trying to find the deduper, I tried to find the world's best weed whacker, you know, the little thing with the string that spins around, and you can't do it because all these, everyone's selling these things, and so they have SEO guys come in and they pump it up. Nobody can do a comparison because you can't, if it's on Google, if you look it up, you'll find it's on page 80, you'll never get there.
There's it's not like a... No, like CNET hasn't, you know, CNET, or I guess I don't know what website you would
They're
go
limited.
To get
like
comparisons.
There's probably 100 of these weed whackers, and yeah, every site will have maybe there's a few legitimate sites that will compare 5 of them. It's useless. And then if you try, it's just ridiculous. I know there's a matrix out there somewhere that where somebody's compared all 100 of them. I'll never find it. That's what Google's supposed to do for me. But most of these sites are like, well, that's, you know, then CNET included and all these guys, they sell these things. It's all commercial. I can't find the data. And Google has done nothing nothing about this. They fight it off as best they can with anti-SEO concepts, but the SEO guys are beating the crap out of them.
Well, but I think it goes even farther than SEO. I think it really goes to the nature of how we get information on the internet. I think a search engine is a blunt instrument for finding information that was good in the early days, but now, because of real time, because of curation and aggregation, basically, I don't think it's just SEO. There's just too much crap on the internet, and a simple search, as good as Google can get PageRank, I don't think a simple search is going to be enough. That's why you need human editors. That's why I think Google's added Twitter to its search results. You know, if you search for World Cup on Google, you will get not only, you know, some traditional Google search results, but you'll get, you know, a live, real-time Twitter stream.
You know, that's part of the reason, like, I've started doing searches and actually putting quotes around actually asking the question, because
interesting.
I don't necessarily think it'll
works?
Leave me to the answer directly, but surely somebody else has asked this question in a public forum. And a lot of times you get the Yahoo Answers, which comes up, and sometimes you get good answers, sometimes you don't.
And, John, we've gone through this before. Remember, there were link farms were, like, a real problem on Twitter a few years ago. That's all you'd ever get is a link farm.
For Google, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Google, not Twitter, yeah. And so I think that's part
of... Yeah, the Parker sites used to come up all the time,
all
and they
Park
finally
sites.
Beat them back. But these commercial sites that are all over the place, I mean, another one, try to find... Anybody out there, go to Google and type in, find the best cell phone, mobile phone plan. Just put that in your search and see what you get. You'll get thousands and thousands of hits for people that are with bogus sites,
right.
Phony baloney. They're selling mobile phone services, and it's just like it's impossible. And
I
can find Leo Laporte, and that's about all I can find.
It's
on
good
Google.
For exactly. It's good for data objects, but not for more abstract concepts. And by the way, that's the point of Bing. Bing was exactly that, or at least that's how Microsoft sold it. With the idea,
it's just Google warmed over,
but it isn't. Because it's so hard to do algorithmically. The way to do it is with humans. And that's, to me, why Twitter, the success of Twitter, truthfully, the success of Facebook.
I wonder what the critical mass is. There's some basic number of followers that I bet if you have it, when you shout out a random question, the odds become in your favor that somebody will happen to know the result. Now, I try not to abuse it, but, oh, my God, if I want a direct answer about something, you ask it over Twitter, and you get highly curated, valuable responses out of the crowd, the wisdom of the crowds.
Yeah. Or you just get a vuvuzela.
Yeah, forget the cloud. I'm all about the crowd.
Crowd. I'm with you. And I think that's where we're going to see. That's the next stage. And I imagine that Google is running scared a little bit because their dominance, you know, is threatened by humans, oddly enough. Algorithmic search.
The irony to this whole thing is that's the way Yahoo started.
Right.
And then they gave up on it.
Algorithmic search has its
limits. The place if they'd stuck to their guns and not, you know, brought in Semmel or whoever.
Are they not doing the Yahoo Answers anymore?
No, not the answers. The original Yahoo.
The directory.
Actually having people physically make the directory. Yeah, of course.
Although I don't know if that works either. But that's, I think, probably what Mahalo's all about, Yahoo Answers. I think that's probably the idea is human-powered search, right?
But, you know, even if Google were to add something very simple, like a dig-like effect, where every time you got a search that gave you obvious SEO, you could just tag it. And if enough people, it would weigh it down. You would bring in that human element. But I don't know, you know, I don't know enough about their wizardry to know if that would work with their plan or not.
There was a site, we interviewed them on Net at Night, called Aardvark, that was the same idea. It was kind of a recommendation search where... and Google bought them, by the way. You would ask questions, and then your social graph would answer the questions. And what happened is Google said, oh, good, and bought them.
By the way, Patrick Norton has been sending me direct messages saying he wanted in. Yeah.
We'll get him on.
He wanted to know if we were still on. He says he's been trying to call. But
sorry, Patrick.
I don't know what it says about me, but he said, yeah, I knew you'd still be on Twitter.
All right. Press this button here. Press that button there. He should show up magically.
So a couple more stories. Did you see the Twitter account, the fake British Petroleum Twitter account?
Dude, been following it for a while.
Hysterical.
Wizards.
Brilliant. BP wants Twitter to put a disclaimer on there. They can't get him to shut it down. I'm sure they've tried. There he is, Patrick Norton. Hey, Patrick.
Hey.
Thank you
Sorry,
for coming.
Sorry, I got your email so late.
No, it's my fault. I should have emailed you sooner.
I was looking at my emails. I'm packing a boat up, and I'm like, oh, I have a chance to be on Twitch.
Oh, yes. I wish you hadn't done that. You could come on anytime.
I hope it didn't ruin your day. No. I'm just really happy I finally broke down. And what's the little box that you stick on your dashboard that goes beep when you go under the bridge tunnels?
Oh, you have a fast track.
Finally broke down and got a fast track.
You didn't have one before?
Well, the man could track me with a fast track.
Oh, you're very privacy conscious. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
No, it's amazing. Actually, I lost a lot of time. The baseball game let out, and everything around 3rd Street was full of Giants fans.
Were they playing the Vuvuzela?
I don't know what they... There was some singing going on from the stage.
I actually can do it now, but with just it's B flat. There it is. You saw this. This is an image somebody put in the chat room. What game is that, Brian? Look up on the monitor over there.
Oh, that's the Ocarina of Time. That looks like Link there doing the...
You played...
That's a Legend of Zelda game right there.
Legend of Zelda. See, you know these.
See, things. This is good. I passed my first test. I'm in for the
E3. You can now go to E3 with
us. By the way, you're right. BP Global PR, the Twitter account, was asked to put a disclaimer to make it clear that this was not actually BP. So they put, quote, "We are not associated with Beyond Petroleum, the company that has been destroying the Gulf of Mexico for 52 days. The new disclaimer now reads...
Beyond Petroleum?
Well, that's what the ads all say. I don't know if they actually changed their names from British Petroleum to Beyond.
So what
Petroleum.
Is the fake account? BP?
BP Global PR. The actual one is BP _ America.
We're not killing animals in the Gulf. We're creating fossils in the Gulf. Have a little perspective.
To create new fossil fuels. See?
And I love
You're
it.
Part
every,
of the solution.
Every one of them has the hashtag BP cares. Just dump 40,000 barrels of free $25 BP Cares t-shirts into the Gulf. Now, the interesting thing is that the fine for British Petroleum, somewhere around $60 million. The fine for LimeWire for stealing music, over $1 billion.
Well, the difference is in BP's defense, the government has capped liability for this. That's part of the, you know, whenever you get government involved with
this. The government has capped claims of lost business. They have a cap on the amount of lost business they can pay. There is no cap on what they can pay or potentially
to
fine
fix
them.
Things.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There's a difference. They're only required to subsidize lost business due to the oil leak.
But the RIAA wants $1 billion from LimeWire, and I'm sure LimeWire is just sitting on $1 billion. Could just write a check, make that happen?
Yeah.
Well, you could say LimeWire's lawyers aren't nearly as good as the ones, or I should
the
say
LimeWire's lawyers.
Relationship to the government isn't nearly as good as, say, the entire oil industry's relationship
By
to the
way,
government.
Isn't there, doesn't, talking about the RIAA, Hillary Rosen, doesn't she work for BP now?
No,
that's what I heard. I'm chat room will
former,
correct me.
Former instantly. President of the RIAA,
yeah,
Hillary Rosen.
Certainly the spokesperson for the RIAA.
Who then went to work for, I think, for Obama, and is now working for BP. Well, that's interesting.
She is?
No.
I am almost certain. I could be.
Maybe
very...
Google can help us.
Oh no, wait. Yeah, it says Hillary Rosen first the RIAA, now BP Hyperbot.
Wow.
Yeah,
no, she works for a strategy group in D.C., Archart.com.
She's at Brunswick Group, yeah.
No, I think she left Brunswick and started her own firm and then ended up at a place called Archart.com.
For an encore, Ms. Rosen, in her capacity as a managing partner for the London PR firm, the Brunswick Group, has been hired by BP to put a pretty face on the oil spill in the Gulf.
Yeah, well, they couldn't find a better person for that, let me tell you. Wow. Jeez Louise. She was responsible for the dismantling of Napster, for the passage of the DMCA. She initiated the Grokster lawsuit. She got the Performance Right Act passed.
The rest of the article sums it up by saying, "Whether you want to listen to music or live on a planet not poisoned by corporate greed, Hillary Rosen is there to say you can't."
Wow. You know, she's like that tobacco industry spokesman and Thank You for Smoking. I mean, she's just like, there's some people just... they don't care. We're going to take a break, come back with more. Thank you for joining us. Patrick Norton, the host of TechZilla at TechZilla.com, is here.
Glad to be here.
So nice to see you and talk to you. We'll find out what the latest is with Patrick. He's also the host of one of our new shows on the Twit, This Week in Computer Hardware.
Yes.
Mr. Ryan Shrout. And I show up from time to time.
Yeah. It's fun when you show
up. It's a great show. In fact, I used to do it with Ryan. I used to do it with Ryan. And when I stopped, it was great because when I did the screensavers, I was really up on hardware. You and I, you covered it. And so I was able to keep up on it. And then I stopped following it. And so it's really nice to do Twitch because I there's a lot of changes going on. It's a good way to
keep up. I have to work really hard to keep up with Ryan because Ryan's on top of everything.
Oh, he's the guy. There's John C. Dvorak's. must be time for a commercial. You know who's in studio with us, Patrick, is the old voice of Tech TV, Jim Cutler.
Really?
Here. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, say hi to Patrick.
Dude, well, you and I wrote an article together a long time ago.
Did you know that?
A long time ago.
Oh, you remember that?
Like 9 years ago, I think.
Yeah, it was like 9 years ago. And I kept thinking, Patrick Norton, what's the antivirus guy doing with me?
Yeah.
And then we did Tech TV, and then I found the magazine, and I said, holy cow.
Patrick Norton in the house. Hey, we're going to continue on in just a second with This Week in Tech and our hosts, but I got to tell you about backup, and I got to tell you about something for business from Carbonite. You've heard me talk about Carbonite, the off-site backup that does such a great job. It's automatic, runs in the background every time you're connected to the internet without slowing you down or your computer. It's a must-have for everybody who's got data. You will lose a hard drive. You will lose a computer. You will lose your backups. At some point, having an off-site backup is critical. Even more so in business. Just do a thought experiment with me. Close your eyes for a minute. Imagine what would happen if you, maybe there's a fire at your business and you lost your data and you lost your backups. You lost everything. How would you recover that data? How would you get back to business? How long would it take? How much money would you lose? A great backup is critical, and you got to do it off-site so that if the worst happens, you still can get that data back. That's why I recommend Carbonite Pro. Go to carbonitepro.com. You could try it free for 30 days. Back up every seat in the house, all your employees' computers, centralized dashboard so you know how it's doing, and affordable? Absolutely. If you go to carbonitepro.com, you could see how affordable. 18 computers. This is an example. 5 gigabytes on each computer, just $50 a month. 8 computers with 5 gigabytes per computer, just $25 a month. It's simply the most affordable way to back up your office. Now you can try it free for 30 days. And I have to say, I did the 30-day trial just to see how it was. Really great. Really helpful. They gave you a lot of information, sent you emails saying, here's, how's it going? What can we do? CarbonitePro.com. Try it free for 30 days. CarbonitePro.com. Brand new from Carbonite. We thank you for their support of This Week in Tech. Twitter says it's been crashing a lot this week. They call them site availability issues. networking problem. They said it was some networking gear bit us in the butt. Problems were going on throughout the week. It's interesting. I mean, Twitter's been much better of late. And I don't know if I didn't really notice any problem this week, but apparently teams are responding to this incident. No details on what network hardware. But I have to say, Twitter's been pretty good of late. And I think...
It crashed on me a couple times this week.
What do you use to tweet?
I use the website.
Really?
How lame is that?
That's so sad.
Yeah.
Well, you know what we say to people who say that? We say, blow me.
I was waiting for it. Wait for it. Try again.
I didn't hold it down long enough.
Cue the Vuvuzela.
You're a sick man.
Blow me. Wow. That's a musical. By the way, that's blowme.co.za. If you'd like to participate in the blowout... Do you guys use WikiLeaks? Are you familiar with WikiLeaks? I think WikiLeaks.
I'm familiar with it by reputation only. I don't usually head on over there.
Huge asset to the United States, founded by an Australian who, by the way, does not publish his name because he publishes some really steamy stuff. John, do you ever use WikiLeaks? I mean,
yeah, I think it's a front for the CIA.
What? What? They don't
know. I mean, that guy that got busted just recently, he's talked about how he gave him that video. He gave him other videos and then also a bunch of other things. And WikiLeaks never ran any of that stuff, and they're not going to.
Well, according to the Daily Beast at ABC News, Pentagon investigators are trying to determine the whereabouts of Julian Assange, the Australian.
Wasn't the guy recently on some TV show? I mean, how hard can he be to find?
They're worried he's going to publish a huge cache of classified State Department cables.
Oh, there's the giveaway. We talk about this on No Agenda Today, by the way. Cables? What is it? What State Department cables?
Transatlantic.
It's a very important telegram, sir.
Stop. He didn't say it was from this century, John.
Hitler is attacking. Stop.
Stop.
Dateline, 2010. Stop. Important cables leaked over the inner tubes.
Leaked by a 22-year-old Army intelligence specialist, Bradley Manning of Potomac, Maryland, who is now in custody. And the feds are worried because they say these cables are prepared by diplomats and State Department officials throughout the Middle East regarding the workings of Arab governments and their leaders. Sounds like it could be pretty embarrassing.
Well, we heard from other sources that the cables are mostly about the Vatican and pedophiles.
Ooh, that would be even more embarrassing.
Yes.
Yeah, and shocking.
What?
Yes, we're stunned.
What?
What?
There's gambling going on?
You're winning, sir. Yeah, I was like, you're winning, sir. Well, Rick, when they come for me, I hope you'll do more than that.
I thought it was that you guys today were talking, John, about the dangers of sitting. This report, direct from the No Agenda newsroom.
There is evidence that sitting alters metabolism. It changes the way the body metabolizes fat and sugars in the body. It increases the risk of diabetes, causes higher blood pressure, increases the risk of developing dangerous abdominal fat, increases
she
the
sounds
risk
like
of
she's having a hard time
disease.
Keeping Holy. From laughing
she
as she says
like
it.
She's about to laugh.
Cancer, endometrial cancer, causes a decrease in bone density, so it increases the risk of osteoporosis. It's harmful to vascular health, affects brain function, and overall, research is showing that more time spent sitting is related to an increase in deaths from all causes.
Holy cow.
She could not sound happier as Holy she delivers cow. That very grim
Croc.
News.
You know what the real problem is?
No, this actually is legit, but it's not new. This has been around for a while.
Yeah, people have been sitting for years.
It's just in. Breathing keeps you alive.
Sometimes you feel like sitting.
The real problem is that if you're standing, you can't play the vuvuzela.
Oh, that's, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do
real,
it.
That's the real. Oh,
thank goodness.
My vuvuzela is broken.
We just drew the Monopoly card. Technical error in your favor. No vuvuzela.
Really? Seriously? It's. Oh, man. All right. So what is the story with that, John? It's just some random piece of crap that...
No, we related it to some information that appeared on the whitehouse.gov site, some of the things Obama's trying
to
do.
It's all connected, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Sitting, Obama,
BP.
I think we've
cracked the code right here,
it's
John.
It's all connected.
Lazy, you know.
Does Wave, anybody still talking about Google Wave? 1 year in, was announced at Google I.O. a year and 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my God, it was a year and 2 weeks ago?
A year and 2 weeks ago.
Wave coming. You know, I've used Wave once, and I found it novel to watch somebody
novel.
Else typing on it.
Novel.
And have never used it again. I was
That's
like,
it.
Hey, look at you. You're making an update.
It was novel.
Real time. It was novel like the Wiimote, and about as impactful.
What are you talking about?
Well,
I think all of this is a fad.
I think, Brian,
I just want to say you're about to go to E3. You might not want to talk too much crap about
it. I know.
Just say it.
I will state very directly, I'm highly skeptical. I hope I get proven very, very wrong. I hope I walk out, you know, totally invasion of this body snatchers where I'm like, you know, Natal, who needs controllers? Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said Vuvuzela.
No.
According, this is a story for you, John C. Dvorak. According to the American Association for the Advancement of Retired People.
Yeah.
25% of older Americans are using social media.
Yeah, well, I would think that's probably a good thing for them.
This is people 50 and older. I guess I'm in that group, too.
Well, you use social media.
I use social media. Half of those surveyed.
You can't get away from it.
There's a great flow chart in Esquire this month that basically helps you decide whether or not you're too old to be using social media, with a bunch of particularly brilliant Donald Rumsfeld references inside of it. Basically, like, are you too old to use Facebook?
Well, I think I am. Let me see
if
I
use Facebook. You have children. How do you track your children without being on Facebook?
No, absolutely.
Can't be done.
I actually quit Facebook. Don't use it. Don't know anything about it. Face what?
Yeah, you did this with Twitter too, and you came groveling back.
Well, I'll admit, I realized that if how can I cover Facebook without a Facebook account? So I have created a new Facebook account. Not that I'm going to use it, but I just because I for one thing I want to see what are the default privacy settings today if you create a new Facebook account. So that account's just sitting there.
Define privacy.
Yeah, privacy. What? How? Yeah. They're okay. They're okay. I think the biggest thing, and I wish that when Walt Mossberg and Kara Swisher last week at the D conference interviewed the sweaty Mark Zuckerberg.
Sweaty Mark? Is that the name he's going by these
sweaty
days?
Sweaty Mark Zuckerberg.
Mr. Sweaty.
He was really sweaty. I wish they'd asked him a little.
I think you would be too, Leo, if you had those two sitting across
from
you.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, they were tough on him. And they finally released the full video, so I was able to watch the full video. And I thought he was more responsive than he was given credit for. But they pressed him, but they never did get an answer for him. On the biggest thing that bugged me, which is that as soon as they made this last policy change, if you had interests, you know, what are your interests in that? And then it actually joined you to everything you had your interests as. And so somebody was in the studio last week and said that he had put in his interests something like, I'm not interested, comma, and neither should you. And he was made up a group called I'm Not Interested and a group called And Neither Should You.
Brilliant.
And joined him to it. So it just shows you how stupid. But it's a public group. So if you put, you know, my interest is in, I don't know, baby butchery. They'd make up a public group called Baby Butchery, and you'd be the sole member, and that'd be pretty embarrassing.
Hundreds of mildly obscene things are being created in fake Facebook accounts right now because of you, Leo.
Exactly.
Yes, everybody in the chat room is now cranking out these things.
Yeah.
I love babies.
It's also, I mean, it's also part of...
Don't put baby lover.
You're right,
man. But it's also part of like Facebook trying to keep on top of search engine optimization to own categories, and most importantly to allow its advertisers to directly mark people in certain areas, because if they create a group and 100,000 people join it, then suddenly, you know, they are the place to advertise for nothing or weasels or, you know, 195 millimeter profile tires or whatever it is. And, you know, Facebook's always been about do it and then ask forgiveness later if you manage to piss off enough of the user group. And the truth is they haven't even really pissed off the user group. I think it got to the point where they're starting to get worried about the eventual stock price based on the ass kicking they were getting in the press.
It wasn't about real users. It was about the press. And that's what they said. All right. Take you now to Bluff City, Tennessee.
Dateline 2010, Bluff City, Tennessee. Just over the cables comes the following from Leo Laporte.
Ryan McCrary, 33, receives a speeding ticket. But after receiving the $90 speeding ticket for cruising through what he called a police speed trap, he tried to go to the Bluff City Police Department's website. He wanted to reschedule his hearing.
He said, "See here, sir."
When he noticed something unusual. The site's content had been replaced with a notice saying the domain name was on the verge of expiring. He saw an opportunity. He waited a few weeks until the name had lapsed, then he bought it. He says, "I really thought the city would renew it. I was surprised to find it was still out there."
Surprised. He was overjoyed to find out it was still out there.
And so he bought the site, whatever it is, BluffCityPoliceDepartment.com. And he posted stories about speed cameras. Features comments from other camera critics. He's gotten 1,000 unique visitors. It's phenomenal, he says. I hope this will attract the attention of the local representatives to get the cameras removed.
Well, he said that once it hit the story hit the news wires.
95,000.
Yeah.
Bluff City Police Chief David Nelson said he didn't even know they'd lost the domain name.
We have a website?
until somebody told him.
Yeah, I'm sure they can get their website back if they give him his money back for the speeding ticket and then take it off his record. No problem.
The chief of police says, "I feel like he's doing it out of revenge because he got a ticket."
She?
Chief Wiggums is in the house.
By the way, you know the web domain was hosted by GoDaddy. I got a call from Brian Parsons. I haven't returned it yet. What's his name? Parsons. Bob Parsons.
Bob Parsons, yeah.
I should play it. I'll tell you what. I'll give it to you, John. You can play it on No Agenda.
All right. So email it to me.
But what is the privacy? If somebody leaves a voicemail message, does that become public? I mean, could I then play it?
Well, there's no expectation that it's not being recorded. I would think.
Clearly.
Yeah. When it says, please leave a message at this recording, clearly. I would imagine you have very little.
Yeah, Chief Wiggum said, I had no idea it had run out. See? I'm sure we'll probably be able to get it back. See?
That's some good domain registration, Lou.
GoDaddy says, once a name expires, it's fair game from anyone who wants to snap it up.
Which they make it sound like that's an unusual policy, but when a domain name expires, it is. Nobody owns it at that moment, right. And it is clear
usually
that anyone
there's
can
a hold.
Don't they give you isn't there some lag?
There's a grace
some,
period. There's a grace. Maybe that was the
grace period. Yeah.
Well, and they said what they do is they send an email warning, and if they don't get any response or interest from the email warning, then they actually put that message up on the website because they figure maybe you've changed your address. And let me tell you, I almost I registered Schwood.com with Network Solutions. Is that who the original ones were?
Yeah, back
in the day, and I registered it for 5 years. And, of course, I had gone through like 5 different email addresses since then, and they still had an old one. I almost lost my primary domain. And it was just dumb luck that I went to check the settings, and I happened to figure out that they were sending stuff to the wrong email.
According to ABC, who talked to general counsel for GoDaddy, Christine Jones, the police chief didn't understand how the domain name worked, and his tech guy was out sick, and it lapsed. So somebody else got it. So we hope the tech guy is feeling better, and we hope that Chief Wiggum gets his domain name back. And we hope that the guy's ticket is refunded.
Yeah, because that'll happen. At all.
Right.
Chief Wiggum said before the camera was installed, there were 9 to 13 accidents in that area every month. So I guess they really didn't need a speed camera there. Folks,
they're finding out that most of these speed cameras, especially in San Francisco, are causing more accidents.
Because people speed up to avoid them?
I definitely have almost caused an accident. Slamming on the brake. Because I think to myself, and it's like, you know, I usually have my show gear in the back of the truck, and I hear it all clanging around behind me.
Oh, that's bad. Maybe if you drove the speed limit, this would happen.
But that's just it. I live on a road that has stoplights and has a 65-mile-an-hour speed limit. So it's like I'm doing 65, and you see yellow.
And there's a stoplight.
Like,
no, that's not good. The two should not combine.
There's a couple in Napa Valley on the road of 29, I think, that are like 55 miles.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, we're out of time. I thank you so much, Brian Brushwood, for being here. Brian's going to head down to L.A. with us to cover E3. Our coverage starts tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
5:30 a.m.
What fun.
What were we thinking? We're going to have exclusive footage of Project Natal. We'll be the first after ABC to broadcast that. You can watch it live here, but you can also watch it after the fact because our coverage of Microsoft's press conference begins at 10 a.m. Pacific. That's 1 p.m.
We'll have Tom Merritt and Sarah Lane giving live commentary. Yeah.
Brian and I will be at E3 in L.A. then covering it. And on Tuesday, we're going to take to the show floor. And you have something set up for
I'm
us.
I'm already trying to set up as many as I can. I'm really excited about it.
And maybe you can teach me how to play The Legend of Zelda. Or play the Vuvuzela.
Or the Vuvuzela.
Schwood.com is the website. And, of course, Brian's show's NSFW is on the Twit Network. You're going to do a special one right after this show.
Yep, early tonight, right after East Meets West.
So that'll be fun. But normally you're on Tuesday nights,
yeah.
7
and, of course, Scam School at scamschool.tv.
On Revision 3. Speaking of Revision 3, Patrick Norton hosts the fantastic Techzilla. It is the logical heir apparent to the screensavers.
It's an awfully nice thing to say.
Yeah, I think it's true. I think it's true. You and Veronica are the Kate and Leo of this decade.
Aww. This century.
Of the century. Oh, you own the century even.
Sorry. Yeah. Both centuries.
Techzilla.tv.
2000 was so long ago.
And catch Patrick on This Week in Computer Hardware on our Twit Network every Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Right here, John C. Dvorak is at Channel Dvorak. .com. That's where you can find a listing of all the things he does, including No Agenda, The Tech Grouch.
Actually, The Tech Grouch and The Tech Hippie aren't on there because that's not really me, if you haven't noticed.
Oh, just somebody sounds strangely like you.
The new Tech Hippie is pretty funny.
The Tech Hippie is very
funny. Can you do an impression of The Tech Hippie? I've never heard him.
I can't really. It's like I tried it a couple of times, but it hurts my throat.
You got to have the shirt to really... I could play a little. You wanted me to play a little Tech Hippie?
Just play
play a little Tech Hippie for you. I think there's an
Reebok
ad.
Easy Tone Shoes.
Skip the Reebok ad.
Oh, you can't skip the ads.
Look great, too.
Okay, okay.
That's not a bad ad.
Hey, they shot. What the hell? What the hell?
This content is totally NSFW. What are you doing?
They just, like, zoomed in on her butt.
That's what I call
it. What? They're doing it again. What kind of ad is... What is that? What is that?
I am shocked. Shocked that such content is on the internet,
sir. There's gambling going on. Oh, my God. What was that ad for?
Once again, Leo.
I'm going to go check it out.
Oh, my God.
Keeping up the trend of every time I come on, This Week in Tech is far more NSFW than the actual show, NSFW.
I know, NSFW, we got to change the name because it's not safe. It's,
yeah, we'll just make it
NSFW.
So, understand what is this? Now, man, they got 2 million people bought the iPad. What, are you guys crazy? Why have I got 2 cigarettes?
Hey, John, by the way, don't we have a bet on how many iPads will be sold? I think, John, you said there. I said 5 million to be sold in the first year. We got 2 million in the first 2 months.
Yeah, I'm already shopping for the bottle.
I'm wondering if we should make it like a bottle for every million they go past 5.
No, I think the bet's over.
Hey, you know. It's because of things like this Vuvuzela.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Because
don't do
without
it.
This,
you can't help it.
Yeah, there'd be no iPad sales. John C. Dvorak, channeldvorak.com. Thank you, John. Always great to have you on.
All right. See you next.
See you soon. Thank you all for being here, folks. We will continue on with East Meets West with Tom Merritt, and then right after a special NSFW. Don't forget, what time do we begin tomorrow? 5:30?
5 a.m.
5:30 a.m. I'll be back here with a live streaming coverage of Project Natal. This better be good.
All you kids going to bed in Europe, first thing when you wake up.
This better damn well be good. It was just
gonna
this.
It's going to be angry, surly Leo reporting.
What is this? What is this?
No, exclusive from E3.
Exclusive
Tom
crap.
Makes you look like a jackass.
I'll give you your exclusive.
Jumping around. And waving your arms around.
Live streaming coverage from the show floor at E3. Actually, from Microsoft Conference Monday. 10 a.m. till noon, and then live show coverage from the show floor Tuesday, noon to 2:30. Thanks to the folks at G4 for making that possible, and thanks to you all for joining us. Don't forget, you can watch Twit Live. We do it every Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, 2200 UTC at live.twit.tv. And, of course, you can subscribe to audio and video versions at twit.tv. And even get it on YouTube, youtube.com/twit. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for joining us. Another Twit is in the can.
Doing the Twit.